It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Monday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Hope you had an outstanding weekend. Hope your Monday's treating you well. Thanks so much for being here. No matter how you are tuned in, there are a number of ways. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM. On our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Appreciate the attendance very much. An ambitious agenda, like usual, laid out for our hour get-together. First things first, make sure you're following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. Like our Facebook page. If you're on the Zuck machine, type in 1650thefan. You'll find us, hammer the like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports content in your feed. Make sure you bookmark the website as well. Just go right to the source, 1650thefan.com. All sorts of local, statewide, and national sports content there. The podcast of this show, other audio on demand. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Number to dial if you want to join in with any questions or comments to add to the program. Save it in your phone. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call. By all means, do so. Don't be shy. Questions or comments, maybe someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show, send your email. Just know I may read it on the air. Email address, cole@1650thefan.com. All right, here's what we got lined up for today. We'll get to the stack like usual with area sports news and scores for your Monday, looking back on yet another busy sports weekend and looking ahead at a few interesting things coming up this week. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set if you want to put a shekel or two down on tonight's Monday Night Football game, which, of course, you'll be able to hear right here on The Fan, your home for the NFL in Eastern Iowa. The Denver Broncos on the road to take on the Buffalo Bills. Pregame coverage will begin at 6:30 tonight, 7:20 kickoff. After the VSiN update, we'll get a forecast for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. Come back in the next segment. And our good friend David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network will join us. You follow him on X at David Eichold. And David does outstanding work. Looking forward to talking to him about Iowa's win over Rutgers on Saturday. A big shutout win for the Hawks. They actually played something that resembled productive, good offense. They did. So we'll see what's worth taking out of that, because I was thinking about this earlier, preparing for the show, knowing David, of course, would be on, and it made me think of my Chicago Bears. Like, when something good happens lately with my Chicago Bears, I go, yeah, but that's probably just like a blip on the radar, you know, an aberration. It's not, my first instinct is to not think that it's a sign of things to come. Let's put it that way. And I would imagine, you know, for better or worse, that's where most Hawkeye fans are at right now. I mean, 10 games in, right? 8-2. That Saturday's offensive outburst, if you will, aren't you kind of looking at it with a raised eyebrow, like insert the Rock gif type deal, where you're just like, nah, I mean, that was fun. I enjoyed it, of course, but I wouldn't put any money down that this is a sign that, hey, we turned the corner. We're on the, we figured some things out. This is a sign of things to come. So we'll see what David has to say about that. Of course, we'll also talk some Iowa men's and women's basketball when he joins us in the next segment. And after we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. During that break, we'll come back on the other side in segment number three and going to bring you some audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley, UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson, and if time permits, I got some other audio we may be able to get to as well. So look forward to that coming up in the third segment of today's show. After that, we will take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, and Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary during that final break, and come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Monday edition of the show. Yeah, I gave you my quick thoughts there on Iowa Rutgers. How about Iowa State? I'll give you all the details in case you missed them or forgot, which would be fine because, my goodness, holy cow, that was a late game. And Iowa State dominating that game thankfully made it easy to be like, you know what, I feel like if I turn this off and go to bed that it'll be okay. And that was, of course, the case. So how about Abu Sama, the freshman running back for the Cyclones? Man, he was good. Iowa State just continues to largely, week in and week out, just take steps forward with what's a young roster. And speaking of Iowa State, watching the men's basketball team yesterday, yeah, another not good opponent. I mean, that's the benefit of being in the Big 12. You don't have to schedule tough in your non-conference. Iowa State hasn't done that. But in terms of checking the boxes available to them against inferior opponents, they did it again yesterday. And, of course, you heard it right here on The Fan. 86-55 was the final of that one. The defense looked really good again. The offense continues to demonstrate that this is not the Cyclones of last year or 2 years ago. You got a real injection of talent. And, you know, the new guys are raising the game of the guys who had previously been on, you know, these offensively challenged teams the last couple of years. I think that's important to point out as well. UNI football goes on the road and lays an egg, man. Just loses a game they could not lose. I mean, technically, yes, they can, but what it sets up now is a de facto playoff game this Saturday at the Unidome against North Dakota State. Yes, North Dakota State, I think the Bison are ranked 9th this week in the coaches' poll. It's not the dynastic Bison, but they're still really good. And UNI has its back against the wall now. And credit Missouri State. That team seems better than their record with a first-year coach. But, man, UNI never able to establish any sort of rhythm, and you'll hear Coach Farley talk about that when we play the audio coming up in the third segment of today's show. It was one of those games where, you know, in talking about how Iowa had a really good day offensively this past Saturday and me saying, yeah, I don't know. I'm raising an eyebrow. I don't know if that's really a sign of things to come. I would say the same thing for you and I not having a good offensive day where it's like, it seems like an aberration, just like a bad day, just a bad day at the ballpark, if you will, to steal a baseball term where you go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts and your name is Mike Trout. And it's like, well, you know, and maybe that's not maybe the greatest analogy to make. But nonetheless, where you're just like, yeah, they didn't play well. Like, that was a stinker. doesn't mean that they can't come back and beat North Dakota State, especially because it is in the friendly confines of the Unidome on Saturday. But 36-15 was the final of that one. You and I, shortly after halftime, was pretty much out of that game. And also just all sorts of penalties, too, on both teams. I think 12 for you and I and 10 for Missouri State. One of those games where every time you turned around on the score bug, it was flag, yellow. You see it on the score bug, and it's like, welcome to the ref show. And I'm not saying at all that's why you and I lost. Like you, there are plenty of reasons why you and I lost that game. But holy cow, it did not make for any sort of enjoyable watching experience. Like, ugh, the ref show. It was on display in Springfield, that's for sure, on Saturday. But that's what we got on tap here today, and some quick thoughts of mine coming out of the sports weekend. So let's try and stay on time here. We'll dive right in. Area sports news and scores for your Monday. We're continuing to get closer to the high school winter sports season. Today is the first day that schools can begin practice for boys basketball and wrestling. Meanwhile, this Friday is the first day games can begin for girls high school basketball, and we will have one of those games. The Cedar Falls Tigers make their 2023-24 season debut. The girls basketball team, led by Coach Greg Grohn, against rival Waterloo East this Friday over on Cruising KCFI, and that broadcast begins at 7:15. That's another good reason there why you got to have that broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. Bookmarked all sorts of sports on all of our stations, and you can find when and where at the broadcast calendar. The high school football season culminates this week. Championship games take place Thursday and Friday at the Unidome in all classes. On Thursday, it's going to be 8-player Class A, 1A, and 4A. On Friday, it'll be the championship games in 2A, 3A, and 5A. Well, I think I may have said 4A. Or 5A for Thursday, that's 4A. The lone area team is Grundy Center, taking on MFL Marmac in Class 1A. That's going to kick off Thursday afternoon at 4. As I mentioned, you and I football struggled to slow down the conference's top passing offense as the Panthers lost at Missouri State 35-16 on Saturday. The Panthers' passing attack could not get on track. Theo Day was just 14 of 35 for 182 yards and 2 interceptions. You and I, now third in Missouri Valley Football Conference, out of the title race. The Panthers conclude their regular season at home, as I mentioned, against North Dakota State this Saturday. And I would say it's 94%, let's call it 88% certain that the Panthers will have to win that game to get into the 24-team FCS playoff field. Drew Stevens kicked 3 field goals. Iowa added 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns and got a 22-0 win over Rutgers Saturday, helping the Hawkeyes clinch a share of the Big Ten West Division title. Iowa's defense posted its first shutout of the season, while the offense had its most productive game. The Hawkeyes came into the game ranked as one of the nation's worst offenses and put up a season-high 402 total yards. Iowa plays its final home game this Saturday when the Hawks play host to Illinois. Rocco Beck threw for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns to lead Iowa State to a 45-13 win over BYU Saturday night in Provo. Beck has thrown 15 touchdown passes this season, one shy of matching the freshman record set by Brock Purdy. The Cyclones had a season-high 234 yards rushing in their third straight road win. Abu Sama led the way with 110 yards and 2 scores on the ground. Iowa State now bowl eligible for the 6th time. In the last 7 seasons, the Cyclones play host to Texas this Saturday night. Yesterday, Iowa State men's basketball was led by Trey King and Keyshawn Gilbert. They each scored 16 points as Iowa State ran past Idaho State 86-55. You heard it right here on the Fan. Cyclones had a 44-25 halftime lead, and Iowa State now 3-0 to begin the season. Clones return to the court on Sunday when they play host to Grambling. Drake held off an Iowa State rally in the second half as the Bulldogs won 85-73 in women's basketball yesterday in Des Moines. The Bulldogs led 38-20 at halftime. Iowa State stormed back in the third quarter, pulled to within 52-47, headed into the fourth. Drake ended the game on an 18-6 run. The Bulldogs improved to 3-0. Iowa State now 1-1. Another women's college basketball result yesterday. Caitlin Clark became Iowa's all-time leading scorer in program history and finished with her 12th career triple-double as number 3 Iowa defeated UNI 94-53. Clark had 24 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. The national reigning player of the year now has 2,813 career points, passing Megan Gustafson, who scored 2,804 points from 2015 to 19. UNI made just 7 of 35 field goals in the first half. UNI is now 1-1, Iowa 3-0. And the 3-0 Iowa women's basketball team up a spot in this week's AP Top 25 to number 2. South Carolina, which had been ranked 6th, vaulted up to number 1. UCLA is ranked 3rd. The UNI volleyball team clinched the Missouri Valley Conference Championship Saturday. The Panthers won at Valpo in 4 sets to improve to 17-0 in conference play. It's the 21st Valley regular season championship for UNI and the 11th under Coach Bobby Peterson. UNI looks to complete an undefeated conference season, hosting Drake on Wednesday in its regular season finale. Wartburg now knows who it'll face in the NCAA Division III playoffs. The third-ranked Knights play host to Illinois College in a first-round game Saturday at noon at Walston Hoover Stadium. The 10-0 Knights won the American Rivers Conference Championship, while the 9-1 Blue Boys won the Midwest Conference title. How about this? Iowa quarterback Spencer Petras has entered the NCAA transfer portal. The Hawkeye quarterback goes in as a grad transfer. He's a former 3-star. He's got 1 year of eligibility remaining. He's actually an employee of the team right now. And Petras, in 5 years at Iowa, has 5,199 yards, 24 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, and a 56% completion percentage. All right, let's take this time out, get you a national sports update, VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back. We'll talk Iowa football, men's and women's basketball. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next right here on a Monday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh is in the middle of his 3-game ban, but didn't meet with the media today following their win over Penn State on Saturday.
It's got to be America's team. It's got to be America's team. America loves a team that beats the odds, beats the adversity, overcomes what the naysayers and critics, so-called experts, think. That's my favorite kind of team.
Michigan is seeking a temporary restraining order that would allow Harbaugh to coach the final 2 games of the regular season. They've got Maryland this weekend and then Ohio State the next. Should be noted that Harbaugh is still allowed to attend meetings and run practices during his 3-game suspension. Mississippi State fired head coach Zach Arnett today after just 1 year, while San Diego State head football coach Brady Hoke will retire at the end of the season. Rams head coach Sean McVay says quarterback Matthew Stafford is expected to start Sunday against Seattle. Jets head coach Robert Saleh says they're sticking with Zach Wilson as their starting quarterback.
You're listening to The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Hi, I'm Emily Frederick, Director of School and Community Relations for the Waterloo Community School District. Graduating high school can be both an exciting moment and one of uncertainty. That's why the Waterloo Career Center is here to help your student graduate with both a diploma and a plan. Our hands-on environment provides Eastern Iowa students with education and purpose. We'll help your student discover their passion and help them succeed through the Waterloo Community School District's widely recognized award-winning Career Center. Your student can experience an internship, apprenticeship, free college credits, and more, all in a fun, engaging, state-of-the-art environment. Through the Waterloo Career Center, students from Waterloo and surrounding communities have access to work experiences in 18 different fields, including nursing, early childhood education, marketing, culinary, and more. Visit us online at wcc.waterlooschools.org. Waterloo Community Schools, where the future is now.
When Breble Matson Insurance in Cedar Falls first began in 1960, our work was limited to working with clients in Northeast Iowa by providing personal insurance and policies for small businesses. Now we offer a much larger catalog of insurance products, and we are licensed to do business in all states. While Breble Matson Insurance may be larger than when we first opened our doors, our approach to giving you the best possible services and always being available when you need us hasn't changed. We still bring the same attitude to customer service, putting you first and building trust. That's still Breble Matson.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's Betting Splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Iowa State hosting the Texas Longhorns on Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. Longhorns are the 8-point road favorite, 48.5 the total. Iowa State coming off a road win at BYU, 45-13 as the 7-point road favorite. While Texas knocked off TCU 29-26, where they did not cover as 13-point favorites. Iowa Hawkeyes, 3.5-point home favorites against Illinois. 30.5 the total at Kinnick Stadium. Iowa shut out Rutgers 22-0 last week, while Illinois outscored Indiana 48-45. They won that game but did not cover as 4-point favorite. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 35 tonight under clear skies. Winds out of the south 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs level off around 65 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 43 tomorrow night. Clear skies. Temperatures well above average Wednesday and Thursday, with highs from the mid-60s to the upper 60s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 56.
Now, back to more Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
Wimmers, here's a slot receiver screen for Brown. He goes in. Touchdown, Iowa. They won't have to review that one. His knee wasn't down. Touchdown, Caleb Brown.
Yeah, that was Deacon Hills. One touchdown pass, and what was his most impressive performance to date as Iowa's starting quarterback? The Hawkeye offense, as I told you at the start of the show, put up a season-high 402 yards, and I think heads are still spinning in Iowa City as a really good win against a quality Rutgers team, 22-0 on Saturday. And we still got Iowa men's and women's basketball to talk about, as both of those teams now multiple games into their respective seasons. And we're going to do it all right now with our friend David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, the 24/7 Sports Network. Subscribe to the website and follow David on X at David Eichold. David, thanks for being here as always, man. How you doing on Monday?
It's been a busy day, man. But you know what? We're rocking through it. It's going to be a fun upcoming week. And, you know, it's definitely our busiest time of the year. Well, outside the transfer portal, I would say, obviously. But it's fun, man. I mean, three relevant teams. It's been a good time to cover Iowa sports.
Yeah, I would imagine so, especially because, as I was mentioning there, the offense had a season-best day, and everybody's just been waiting and waiting for this to happen. And, okay, I guess if people out there are going to go, oh, leave it up to Cole to try to throw cold water on this. The analogy that I made, David, was as a hurt and pretty well numbed out Chicago Bears fan, that I see this result and I'm like, that's great, you know, good for Iowa. But my Bears instincts go, this probably doesn't mean it's a sign of things to come. Like, this probably doesn't mean that a corner's really been turned, that the code's been cracked. It probably just means that Iowa was good offensively on Saturday. I don't hope that to be the case, of course, for the student-athletes or the fan base, but can you understand my guarded optimism here and where I'm coming at this from?
Yeah, I think it's the right way to look at it. I mean, I think there are some intangible things that you can take and say, you know what, that's a good thing that they did. They can utilize that going forward. And the other thing is, this is a good Rutgers. This is not your father's Rutgers team, right? I mean, they held it tough with Ohio State for three quarters. Their defense is ranked number 10 in the country, I believe, in total defense entering this game. They were a bowl eligible team. They've done some nice things this season. What Greg Schiano's done has been really impressive to me, at least.
Yeah.
But Deacon Hill, I thought, looked really comfortable. Yes, he had a horrible interception at the end of the first half. And I'll admit it, again, as much as people don't want to believe I do this, Cole, I know you've known me long enough, I eat my bad takes. I accept them. I said it. I said they should have benched him after that interception. And what does Deacon Hill do?
Yeah.
He comes right out and has his best half of the season. And he showcased some good things in the first half, too, but his footwork looked noticeably better. His fundamentals looked better. I thought the offensive line, even with all the injuries, I thought they put together a stellar day. Iowa had over 400 yards for the first time in, I think, 32 games.
Wow.
Or something along those lines. And what do you know? Caleb Brown, vocal part of the game plan, right?
Yeah.
First career receiving touchdown. Three catches, also had 20 yards rushing. He looked to be targeted a lot more. It's amazing what happens when you get the ball to your most athletic playmakers in space. They can make things happen. So I think there are some good things moving forward. Illinois' defense has really struggled, but they've also had a really good defensive front. I think it's an interesting matchup this weekend. But guarded optimism is the right way to look at it based on how inconsistent Iowa's been this season. Mm-hmm. But I'd also advise Iowa fans to kind of enjoy it. I mean, they got to watch offense, right? I tweet after the game, Cole, at Kirk Ferentz, that's what complimentary football looks like.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned the offensive line. You got three running backs that each went over 50 yards rushing and what was quite a balanced 402 yards of total offense, David. And as much that is hard to put your finger on with the struggling Iowa offense, that offensive line might be the most frustrating part because there's been flashes this season with that offensive line, at least in terms of being able to occasionally, you know, clear the way for these running backs and put forth some good games on the ground. What do we know about where the offensive line is at right now? I know there's some injury, but like I said, how do we evaluate this group at this point?
I mean, I said this a few weeks ago, and I stand more by it now than I have. I mean, I think George Barnett saved his job. I mean, I was really, really thinking they might need to make a change after that Penn State game, but I think all the group has done is respond. And I think the way you look at it is Logan Jones, who I think has had a quietly good year. I think he's made that, you know, that big stride we were all kind of thinking he was going to.
Mm-hmm.
But how about Tyler Ellsbury getting in there at center? I mean, you did not notice a drop-off from center, and I think that's really impressive considering Ellsbury has also ran reps at tackle. He's run at guard. He's run at center. I mean, that's a guy who knows how to play every position but has not really gotten a lot of starts. So for him to go in there and do some good things as well, that showed me a lot. Mason Richmond's continued to battle through injuries this season, and what he's done has been impressive. At times, I think so. I think the way I would evaluate it, Cole, is the floor is a lot higher than it's been. I don't know what the ceiling is, but I do think that the floor is definitely higher now than it was, let's say, a month and a half ago. And I think when you look at just trying to make the week-by-week improvements, that's where you really got kind of need to look about what this offensive line can do. Because the reality is, Iowa's offensive line needs to hold up, and Iowa has to continue to get the ball to wide receivers because that's the only way the running game is going to open up.
Mm-hmm. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at David Eicholt. You had the report earlier today, David. Spencer Petras, Iowa's former quarterback, who's interestingly enough an employee right now in this spring semester. Fall semester, an employee of the football team and essentially a coach, if you will. He has the major shoulder injury that he's coming back from. Somebody had a video of him throwing in warm-ups when they were at Wrigley Field to take on Northwestern. So, obviously, things are healing for him, which is great, that perhaps he can get back and play some football. And if he's in the portal now, it sure seems like he can and wants to. I will say for whatever my thoughts are worth on this, I can't imagine an FBS team being interested, but if you look at, you know, the bottom half of maybe like the Big Sky Conference and FCS football back out west closer to home, a Southern Utah or a UC Davis or Cal Poly or something like that, I could see him getting an opportunity at a place like that to probably have to battle it out with an incumbent or somebody else who comes in the portal?
Yeah, so I think a couple things. One, I think this has always been Spencer's plan, and I just put out a column about how I think Iowa fans should kind of ease off Spencer and give him the appreciation he deserves, because he was the most criticized Iowa player since I've been covering this team since 2018. And I think he absorbed a lot of criticism, even with stuff out of his control. I think the offensive issues proved to be more than just a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually of the belief where if he can prove his shoulder's healthy, and he's going to finish out the year with the Iowa football program, by the way. He's under contract, then he's going to enter the portal. But it's good for him to kind of field those calls now. Cole, I got to tell you, I really think he could get a group of five opportunity.
Really?
I think if he's in the right system, he has a big enough arm, and if he gets to a similar style like he played in high school, or he really let fly downfield when he had 50 touchdowns, down two interceptions, I would not be surprised to see a group of five team take a chance on him. This is a guy who's won a lot of games in Iowa uniform. He's made some big-time throws. No, he's not the most polished quarterback, but he understands the game at a high level. If he goes down level, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying he's going to be in a group of five, but I could definitely see, you know, a group of five. Because, again, he's a Big Ten division-winning quarterback. You know, I know, again, the numbers aren't there, but I think that carries a lot of weight in regards to the portal and what they'll be potentially looking for there. And we'll see what the talent looks like in the NCAA transfer portal as well. So I think this is a good thing for Spencer. I think it's a win-win for the program. And yeah. I think him staying even this far in Iowa, Cole, I think it proves how much he loves his state and loves his teammates, despite all the criticism he's endured.
You mentioned before Illinois is at Kinnick Stadium this Saturday and their defensive line. How much of a chance do you give the fight in Bielema's?
They're so up and down, man. I really don't know. I think it's going to be an emotional senior day. Likely Cooper DeJean's last game in Kinnick Stadium. Torrey Taylor's likely last game. And you know what? Maybe I'm going reaching here a little bit, Cole, but I think there's going to be an extra energy when Noah Shannon gets introduced with the seniors, because he is going to walk with the seniors.
Okay.
After all he's had to be through with, you know, all the NCAA and the gambling probe. I have Iowa winning this game. I don't know what the score is going to be. I think the over-under is right, but this Illinois defense has been proven shaky in pass coverage. And I'll say it, Caleb Brown's going to get another touchdown. He's got a career-high day. I think he's earned a lot of trust with the coaching staff over this past couple of weeks with his performance. So I'm giving the edge to Iowa here.
It could be one of the most important things for this offense to have finish on a positive note as the season winds down, is getting one of their best weapons in Caleb Brown. You know, familiar with the offense, and that trust level continues to build there. All right, let's talk about the Iowa men's basketball team, last in action on Friday night with a 98-67 win over Alabama State. What's on your notepad here, David, as Coach McCaffrey's Hawkeyes will go on the road tomorrow night and take on number 8 Creighton?
Really excited to see the freshmen in this game. I mean, this is going to be their opportunity to really step up and kind of own the college basketball movement as far as their transition. I mean, Creighton's one of the best offenses in the country. It's at 33s in the first two games. Trey Alexander versus Tony Perkins is going to be a lot of fun. But what Tony Perkins are we getting? Are we getting big game Perkins like we've seen? Or are we getting that frustrated Tony Perkins that we've seen? If he starts slow, he just doesn't have a big game. But I'm really excited about this matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I have no idea what the over-under is going to be, but I would take the over. I expect a lot of points. I don't expect Iowa to win, Cole, but I'm curious how they compete and when adversity strikes, how does this young group respond? Because I think the freshmen are going to be either the reason why Iowa makes the NCAA tournament or not. I mean, that's really, really what I'm looking for in this game. But it should be a really, really fun game. I don't love Creighton's depth. If Iowa can get them in foul trouble, you know, it could be interesting.
And Owen Freeman, if I'm not mistaken, who you had told us about before the season, watch this freshman, Big Ten Freshman of the Week, I think I saw earlier today.
He's really polished, man. I mean, he's the first Iowa big I've seen in quite some time that when he wants to dunk, he just dunks it. He knows his size. He understands his size. I'd still like him to be a little bit more aggressive on the glass, but he was good overseas during the time there. I expect that to continue to ramp up as well. But he and Brock Harding, that Moline connection, man, they have some chemistry. It's like they've been playing college basketball together for 3 years. I'm excited to see how that sort of translates against top competition.
A little more polished than Josh Ogunleye as a freshman is what you're saying?
That
wasn't nice. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Okay, let's finish with women's basketball. Caitlin Clark and the Hawks were up here yesterday. The McLeod Center sold out for it. And the Hawks living up to their number third, now number two ranking, David, with a 94-53 win. I thought Iowa's transition defense, and for that matter, I thought their half-court defense was pretty good. Some of it was just like a lid was on the basket for the Panthers. But for as much as this team, understandably so, gets its offense talked about, we talked about this a lot last season when the stakes really were getting high for Lisa Bluter's team. Yesterday they proved they could string stops together and they could dictate the tempo.
I don't know how good this team is offensively yet. I thought Iowa missed a lot of shots they should have made, but it was good to see Gabby Marshall get going later in the game from three-point range. But, Cole, you're exactly right. I mean, I think the defense on this team is going to be better than it was last season. I'm really excited to see how they perform this week with a couple big games as well. But I was impressed. And, you know, Caitlin Clark, triple-double, now the school's all-time leading scorer on pace, I believe, to be the all-time leading scorer in college hoops, men's and women's, if she continues the trajectory she's on. But I'm excited about this team on both ends of the floor. I think South Carolina deserves the number one ranking. I think they're incredibly dangerous. They might even be better than last year as well. But, yeah, defensively, I think this team's looking a lot better. And offensively, we need to see some more players hit some shots. But I know some people were not quick to buy in on Iowa and what they could be this year. But, Cole, from all accounts, if they continue what they're doing, I said before, I still think this is a Final Four caliber team, and there's nothing throughout the first week that's telling me they can't be.
I thought it was really interesting, David, that Caitlin Clark gets another triple-double and does so with only 13 field goal attempts, coming off of a game in which she scored more than 40 and put up 31 shots. For the people out there that criticize Caitlin, not that there can't ever be a critique, but to me, she just read the game yesterday and like took what was given to her, and she shoots it damn near 20 less times and still gets a triple double.
Well, I mean, the only criticism anybody had of her after the Virginia Tech game was, oh, she shot 31 times. Well, if you actually watch the game, nobody else was making shots.
Right.
She had to make shots, so she kept shooing. So the people are reaching right now to criticize Caitlin Clark. You know what they're not talking about, Cole? The fact that she only has four turnovers through three games, and three of which were in last game. I believe in the first quarter all of them came in. And then she really responded well, leading the nation in assist turnover ratio. This is a better Caitlin Clark than last year, and that's I can't believe I'm even saying that because it just seems so difficult to achieve. But she looks like National Player of the Year. I mean, at this point, it's so obvious to me she's on a completely different level than everybody else. But I think Caitlin likes taking 13 to 15 shots if that means they're winning and Iowa's teammates are hitting shots, because she's admitted it herself. She doesn't like shooting the ball 40 times because guess what happens typically? They end up losing. So she wants her teammates to get involved and make shots. So I'm with you. I thought she controlled the game. It was her game. She didn't force anything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, her teammates were hitting shots, and that could make or break Iowa's season.
David, great stuff as always. Great to catch up, and we'll do so again next week. Thank you.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you. Take care.
Likewise. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter or X at David Eicholt. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. On the other side, got some audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley and UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. Maybe if time permits, we'll get to some more from some others. But that's what's coming up on the other side right here on a Monday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The schedule for the Iowa men's basketball team takes a significant jump tomorrow night when the Hawkeyes visit 8th-ranked Creighton. Under former UNI and Iowa State coach Greg McDermott, the Blue Jays have become a consistent top 25 program.
The fan base is engaged, and they get 17,000 every night. They're in a great league. And you know, I think his culture is exactly what you want if you're at a place that aspires to be great like Creighton.
That's Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey. The Hawkeye women are up to second latest AP basketball poll. The Hawks are 3-0. South Carolina leaped over Iowa to become the new top-ranked team. UCLA is third. Utah and Colorado complete the top five. And in football, Iowa State running back Abu Sama is the Big 12 newcomer of the week. He rushed for 110 yards and two touchdowns in the Cyclones' 45-13 win at BYU. This is Radio Iowa.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
How confident is Anderson Collision in Cedar Falls about their work? How about a lifetime warranty on their repair work confident? Impressive, huh? This is just one of the many ways Anderson Collision stands apart from the competition. And best of all, they know what they're doing. Owner Jamie Earhart has 25 years of experience in the business. Plus, they have certified estimators and technicians, continuously staying up to date on all the latest techniques and trends in the industry. Anderson Collision in Cedar Falls.
Love your home with City Builders, offering composite windows, the most energy efficient window made in America. City Builders' state-of-the-art showroom features all of their products and experts to help make the remodeling process easy. Experience, quality products, and quality installation. Love your home with City Builders. Visit their showroom today at 2009 Center Street, Cedar Falls, or call 277-4000. Love your home with City Builders.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
The inside of your factory or warehouse must be maintained in order to ensure a safe work environment for your employees. A-Line Striping and Sweeping is your single source to keep your business operating without issue. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. We'll make sure pedestrian areas and danger zones are clearly marked. We can mark storage areas for better organization, and we even offer industrial janitorial services. See the difference A-Line Striping and Sweeping can make in your business. Visit alinestriping.com.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. The Unite football team suffered an upset loss, 35-16 at Missouri State on Saturday afternoon. 12 penalties for the Panthers and a season-low completion percentage from quarterback Theo Day sunk the Panthers in this game. And Coach Mark Farley said today, we just never were able to get in a rhythm in this game.
When you go back and look at it, we never got in sync. We never got in rhythm. They threw the ball better than we threw the ball, and that was the difference in the game. At the end of the day, we had our opportunities early in the game and didn't take advantage. We're in the red zone twice within our first two series and had the intercept and penalties down in there. And then they converted some of those to points. And we never caught rhythm, because even as coming out in the second half, we had a couple turnovers. We're in the red zone, I believe, three times at that time and only came away with the field goals. And they should have been touchdowns. So there's a lot of reasons watching the film, but at the end of the day, they threw the ball better than we did, and that's why we got beat.
was one of the biggest reasons, Coach Farley, that your receivers were not getting open?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, too. We had some drop balls, but at the same time, you know, there was 21 or 22 penalties in this game. Now, you go 22 penalties and then throw on top of it all the timeouts for commercials, and you couldn't get anything going, and whatever the reason, it's the game's over, so you move on and find a way to learn from what you did or at least correct. I don't know if there's a correction as much as the how to call it with what you're up against, or maybe try to swing it, because we tried to swing the momentum on the road, but just couldn't do that as well, because we went for it a couple times and tried to make something happen through play calling, and it never caught fire.
North Dakota State comes to the Unidome this Saturday in what pretty much looks like a de facto playoff game for the Panthers. Coach Farley, your thoughts on Saturday's game with regard to playoff circumstances?
I would assume you win, you're in. I mean, I think that's common knowledge. I don't think that's a guess. I just think that we gotta get ready to play this football game. You know, we let one get away from us last week after playing so well for so long. And so now we're sitting here, and North Dakota State's coming in the Dome. So it was always going to come down to a North Dakota State game, always does, but it just didn't. You know, like I said, you're playing for big games in November, you're doing something, and we are. So, and then you got a great team coming in here on top of it.
The third-ranked Iowa women outscored UNI 35-16 in the third quarter to blow that game open yesterday in what was a 94-53 win for the Hawks at a sold-out McLeod Center in Cedar Falls.
The second half, we got in a roll. We shot the ball much better. Taylor came in and had some. Gabby had some. But I was really happy with our defense and rebounding tonight. I thought in every quarter we controlled that. And I don't know if maybe we didn't catch you and I on the best night or injuries or whatever, but I thought our team played really well. Fans came out and supported this game, and that's what you want for an in-state rivalry.
Caitlin Clark scored 24 and in the process became the school's all-time leading scorer, breaking the mark set by former National Player of the Year Megan Gustafson.
Obviously, it's special getting to do it with this group, and Megan reached out to me last night and basically just told me, like, go break it, like, you deserve this. And I think that just speaks to the culture that Coach Bluder's built here is, you know, she develops really great players, but also people that want to see other people succeed.
Clark added how much of an honor it is to share the accolade with her teammates.
I wouldn't be in this spot if it wasn't for them, and, you know, they all celebrate it too. So I'm just lucky to do it with this group, and, you know, hopefully I can score a few more points for this program this year.
You and I shot just 25% in the game, made only 19 of 33 from the free throw stripe. Here's Coach Tanya Warren.
You know, I thought we defended fairly well first half, but eventually, when you can't put the ball in the hole, it wears on your defense. And if you'd have told me that we would shoot 11% from the three and 22 from the field and 50 from the free throw line, I'd have called you a liar. I wouldn't have believed it. But just one of those days.
Here's Coach Warren on the fact that it was the first ever sellout of McLeod Center for a UNI women's basketball game.
Panther fans, they showed up, and I apologize for the performance. I hope that they will continue to come back. This game in no way defines this team. This team is better than that. We will learn from this game, and if we can get ourselves healthy, we feel like we have a really good team. So. But a great atmosphere on both sides.
UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson met the media today. The Panthers take on Loras tomorrow night at home. Looking back on last Tuesday's 83-77 overtime loss at North Texas, Coach Jacobson had expressed regret about the lineup he chose for overtime with Titan Anderson fouled out. Coach Jake was asked today, how long does a regret like that in terms of a coaching decision stick with you?
Not very long. No, not very long. Yeah, you got to work through those things, and we talk with our players about it, you know, all the time. It could happen in a game. We could see it play out in live action, right, where a guy either reacts or doesn't react most times to a play that they wish they would have done better, right? But all that does is take the energy away from doing the next best thing, okay? So for me, it's and that one, maybe to give, and I did a little bit with J-Dub, but to maybe give just a little more context, not to do with any of the five players that were on the floor. You know, Trey did not have he did not have a very good game, mostly to do, maybe almost entirely to do with the foul trouble. He got two right away, he's out. Gets a third one, he's out. Like, he never got into the game. And Trey and I talked about that after we got home. Had a conversation about it, and that's a hard game to play when you aren't on the floor and can get yourself going and get that sweat going and get into the basketball game. And now, having said that, you know, Trey talked about it as well. He has played against Wisconsin, against Coe, and in our practices, in the top three or four of our entire roster, all the way up until the North Texas game. And I know our entire team felt like Trey was going to play really, really well in that game. The foul trouble knocked him off track. So he would have – Drew would have went in for Trey, but most of it to do with having a lineup on the floor with somebody at each position. I know that's what I did talk about after, so that we could get into our playbook and work to find an easy basket to start overtime. And you hope to get – you know, maybe you get two of them in the first three or four possessions, right? And you get the lead, or you have it in the spot where you can shorten that game without tightening. You know, can you get the lead, or can you shorten it a little bit, that 5 minutes? So back to your original question. Yeah, not very long, right? And I feel the same way now, right? I've worked through it, right? But that doesn't stick with me very long. No, you got to get on to the next thing.
All right, let's take this final time out, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for a Monday. We'll come back on the other side and wrap up the show.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Las Vegas running back Josh Jacobs picked up 116 yards on the ground as the Raiders beat the Jets 16-12 on Sunday Night Football. Elsewhere in the AFC, Browns kicker Dustin Hopkins made a 40-yard game-winning field goal with no time remaining in Cleveland's 33-31 come-from-behind win at Baltimore. Houston rookie C.J. Stroud threw for 356 yards and two scores, one passing, one rushing. Texans also converted a game-winning field goal with no time remaining in their 30-27 win at Cincinnati. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott threw for 404 yards, also racking up five touchdowns, four through the air, one on the ground. His wideout CeeDee Lamb recorded 11 grabs for 151 and one touchdown in the Cowboys' 49-17 win over the G-Men. Lamb is the first player in NFL history with at least 10 catches and 150 receiving yards in three straight games. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Get early access to Macy's Black Friday specials and save big on gifts for everyone on your list right now while supplies last. Like winter-ready women's sweaters, $12.99 to $19.99. Fine jewelry, 60 to 75% off. And cozy up to comfy throws, just $9.99 to $39.99. Plus, get your online order even faster with store pickup, now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When people look at your farm, they just see corn. But to you, it's a lot more than that. It's a college fund, your retirement plan. And it deserves trait protection that can stand up to heavy pressure threats like corn woodworm. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is trusted on over 1 million acres to protect the things that mean more. Trade up at SmartStaxPro.com. Always read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices. Copyright 2023 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. After a long-winded investigation, the NCAA officially suspended Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh for the remainder of the regular season. The Wolverines were able to rally around interim head coach Sharon Moore for a win over Penn State. But with the NCAA eyes now locked on Harbaugh, his future in Ann Arbor may be questionable. History tends to repeat itself in this case, and that would suggest Harbaugh expressing an interest in coaching elsewhere this offseason. After a successful stint at USC, Pete Carroll bolted for
the NFL after multiple NCAA violations began to loom overhead. Lou Holtz can also be used as an example. He coached at multiple universities, but at each stop, NCAA violations would follow. NC State, Minnesota, Arkansas, Notre Dame, and South Carolina. None were punished when Holtz was still in command. Only time will tell how this situation unfolds, but with so much uncertainty now surrounding Michigan, jumping ship has historically been the most common route for college coaches. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. You know, in today's world, it seems like the best treatment is reserved for only a few. Well, Discover wants to change all of that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability. That means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in your life, you'll feel special with Discover. You can learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations do apply. Worn out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on a Monday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. Audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley, men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. Yesterday's UNI Iowa women's basketball game. All in that previous segment. If you missed any of today's show, podcast will be available shortly in or at 1650thefan.com. Keep it locked right here. Pre-game coverage of Monday Night Football coming up in a little over a half hour's time. The Denver Broncos on the road to take on the Buffalo Bills. 6:30 pregame, 7:20 kick. I will be back tomorrow at 5. Tune in to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson, 6 to 8 tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.